You're on ABC Radio Sydney, and Jimmy Thompson joins us this afternoon in sad circumstances, really. I mean, we would have had you on at any point by about now, but sadly, the incident in London, the fire at Grenfell, made us think, well, look, we better get Jimmy in and take people's calls about concerns they might have around their own dwelling, the cladding, any other sort of issues that that might have suddenly they've said to themselves, well, am I in a fire trap? You know,
exactly.
And what do I do if I am? If I think I am, so 1-300-222-702 is a number if you'd like to join us. Jimmy's from flatchat.com.au, and you can call now with any issues. You can look up his column online if you want to find out more details. Jimmy, you did some writing on this in the weekend. What's the do we have the same sort of thing in Sydney dwellings that unfortunately they had at Grenfell?
Yes. And there's tons of it.
Tons of it.
Or acres of it, to be more accurate.
And what is it precisely?
I'm glad you asked me that. Because I looked it up. Basically, it's a sandwich of two very, 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 very thin sheets of aluminium with kind of plastic resiny stuff in the middle to give it strength and flexibility and basically make it the ideal thing for hanging off the side of buildings. Mm-hmm. You don't want anything that's too heavy. You don't want anything that's too rigid. Mm. So this stuff, this sandwich, works pretty well. The trouble is the cheap stuff, when it gets overheated, the plastic stuff in the middle starts melting out. And if the plastic stuff is inflammable, then you've got a problem because it will burn, and then it just, as we've seen, and we saw it with the La Crosse fire in Melbourne as well.
Right.
It spreads very, very quickly.
So this was the report, wasn't it, that there, you can have fireproof versions of this cladding, or you can have unfireproof.
Yeah. And the fireproof version costs about $7 a square meter more than the cheaper, dangerous stuff.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of these things that, and that the problem is that it's cheaper to put up. It's very expensive to take it down and replace it. And that's the thing that the government is wrestling with right now.
I suppose the broader issue when you pull back is it wouldn't occur to me that you could put up a flammable substance on the outside of a building.
No.
There's only one choice here. That would be the fireproof stuff.
Yes.
You know.
And most people who've bought apartments who probably didn't even realize that the stuff on the outside of the building was cladding.
Right.
But you would reasonably assume that the people who built the thing or paid for the builders to build the thing would have said, can we have the stuff that doesn't go up?
Well, I wouldn't have thought it would pass inspection certification at some point.
It does.
That's not a fireproof building, right?
Well, it's non-compliant. So it's kind of like, you know, they say we've got this non-compliant stuff. Yeah, put it up.
Right.
Nobody's going to check. Nobody knows. It's not going to make any difference.
Can I tell by looking at it?
No.
Right.
No, you've got to look at the back of the panel and see the manufacturer and the serial number or whatever. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Right.
I'm not going to say the brand name because I'll probably get the wrong one.
Right.
But
if you knew what you were looking for, it's not hard to find out.
Very easy.
Very easy to find out what's on there. Will I know, is there a way of knowing? So as you said, I mightn't realize it's cladding. What, is it just there for decoration?
Yeah, or
is it
pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it does protect the concrete facade of a building to some extent, but it's just there to make your building look a little bit nicer than it would otherwise, when there's nothing wrong with it.
And is there any way of telling that I've got that style of thing as opposed to some other style of cladding? Whether I've got the fireproof or the non-fireproof, is there any way of going?
You could have coloured panels, I guess. But basically, this cladding is mainly shiny metal.
So it's aluminium coloured?
Yeah.
Right.
Mostly.
You might have questions around this. 1-300-222-702 is the number. Perhaps you've got concerns. Perhaps you've already started to look at it in your building. You can tell us what's been going on. Perhaps you've got other issues like this. I mean, I'm sure many have thought to themselves, well, how safe is my building then?
Yeah.
And how to look for sprinkler systems or how to look for fire escapes, whatever else you might be looking for, you might want to have in the building. 1-300-222-702 is the number if you'd like to join us. As you said, New South Wales government at this point, you know, I would imagine scrambling to try to figure out what level of problem they might have.
Yeah.
How many buildings do you estimate might have non-compliant cladding?
I saw figures over the weekend getting up to the tens of thousands across the country.
Tens of thousands of buildings?
Across the country.
And they're basically they were non-compliant the day they opened their doors?
Yeah.
These were.
I mean, there are some that have got the good stuff.
Yeah.
And they're fine. And there's some that have the cheap stuff, which has been coming into the country even since the Melbourne fire. The stuff has still been coming in. And, you know, the regulations around it just takes so long to get a regulation there. You know, sometimes you wish you lived in a totalitarian state where they just go, OK, stop this now.
But, I mean, when you say a regulation there, a fire, I still can't quite get my head around this. Who signed off on, you know, flammable stuff being put on the outside of the house? Or nobody actually noticed?
Well, it could be the developer chose that, or it could be the developer thought they were buying one kind of non-flammable, and ended up with the builder going, oh, we got this stuff from China that's $5 a square meter cheaper. Let's put that up, because that's a lot of square meters on the side of a big building.
But again, I mean, my naive expectation is this is exactly the sort of thing that a certifier or somebody concerned with buildings in cities, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, that's their job, to know that that's the cheap stuff and to go, sorry, pull it all down. Or what do you think you're doing at some point?
Yes.
Is that not the case?
I don't know how you do suppressed laughter on radio, but no, self-certification is one of the bugbears of apartment building. You cannot get building insurance for buildings over three stories high. One of the reasons you cannot get building insurance is because the government said you don't need it. The reason the government said you don't need it was because previously the government had brought in self-certification where the developer or builder would say, yeah, that's okay, tick the box. And then all these buildings started having problems. And so the insurers were saying, well, we're not going to insure them anymore. So the government said, we've got a brilliant idea. Let's not need insurance. So you don't have it.
So you don't have it. So therefore, it doesn't really matter what anybody does.
Kind of.
Is that the end of that argument?
5 years later, you go back and say, oi, we've got this cheap, inflammable cladding. Can we get the builder back to fix it? The builder goes, no, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm gone.
Kerry sums it up like this. This is on the tech service. Private certification is such a huge issue that government refuses to address. No independent certification. Basically, the developer pays the person who certifies. Certifier just collects all the compliance certificates from the builder who's been under the pump to cut costs.
Yep.
That's how a building goes up in Sydney right now.
Yep.
So someone this afternoon could be putting this stuff up on a building right now.
I would be very surprised if they weren't. And the other thing about certifiers is that some of them are told, under no circumstances, go to the building and inspect the building. Just inspect the forms that you get from the electricians and the plumbers and the builders and the cladding installers. If they say it's okay, that's what you go by. Don't ever go near the building, because then that makes us liable for anything.
So the certification company is saying that to their workers.
Yeah.
Don't go to the building.
Yeah.
And the developer says, yeah, that's fine. You don't have to come to the building.
Yeah, I've got a form here. It's got all the boxes ticked and it's got a signature.
So the only dodgy person in this chain might turn out to be, say, the cladding person.
Yep.
Who says, no, I put the right stuff up, knowing that he didn't.
Yep.
In a sense, though, the certifier is okay because he was shown a certificate that said it was
okay. Exactly. So he's not liable.
Wow.
So the chain of liability just is non-existent.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's actually scary.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's like what we're unpacking right now is fire could break out this afternoon.
Yeah.
And potentially, you just said there are tens of thousands of these buildings.
Potentially.
That might have, even if it's 2,000. Let's say in Sydney there's 2,000 buildings right now that have unsafe cladding.
Yeah.
You'd say that's a conservative estimate.
I'd say that was probably maybe on the low side, but realistically. But
in the kind of ballpark.
In the ballpark.
Which is a lot of buildings.
It is. And now think about all the barbecues and think about all the washing that's on because this is one of the things
that came
up.
The electric heater, all the stuff. Yeah,
somebody studying for their exams and smoking a cigarette and leaving it next to paper.
We don't get a lot of fires in apartments, do we?
Well,
I mean, I'm trying to think.
New South Wales apartments are... they've been very diligent over the years in making people put in fire doors and sprinkler systems and things like that. So we do get fires, but they tend to be contained.
Right.
But let's not forget, it's only 5 years since the Bankstown fire and those poor girls who had to jump out of a window and one of them died and one of them has ended up in a wheelchair. I mean, it does happen. Yeah. This is the thing. It's not going to happen to every building that has this cladding. But if it does happen, it could be disastrous.
This is what goes on. 1-300-222-702 is the number. If you've got any issues, if you've got any questions, comments, observations, you've been looking at this at your building, you've discovered, yes, it does seem to have that cladding. What have you done about it? You might like to join us. 1-300-222-702. Jimmy Thompson's with us from flatchat.com.au. Hello there, Ian.
Hello, how are you, James and Jimmy?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, my question is a simple one. I think it's simple. How long will it take before the government can actually publish a list of buildings that have got the bad cladding in it?
And how long is a piece of string? Mm. I think it'll take a long time because, apart from anything else,
Said it will?
That's what they're talking about.
Right.
There's this task force that was announced over the weekend, which is apparently going to go around and identify these buildings. What they might do is say to the councils, can you identify the buildings in your area? They might ask people to self-identify, which is a problem because then you're in a building where you're thinking, well, we're probably not going to have a fire. But if we identify that we've got dodgy cladding,
right,
then we're all up for a huge amount of money to replace it.
So that will be something that, yeah, and then that might be owners might accept that, but then there's tenants all through the building.
Yep.
You know, so.
Well, the owners are going to, I mean, my back of a cigarette packet estimation is it could be $50,000 per unit on a large building,
right,
to replace the cladding. That means taking it all off carefully and replacing it with the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for the average apartment owner, especially in these days when we're all suffering mortgage stress and things like that.
Yeah, that's right. Anonymous has joined us in the tech service as well. Says, look, I'd rather remain anonymous, but I work in fire protection. The amount of fire safety issues that are found in buildings and never fixed is astonishing. Anyone can sign a certificate, and many building owners refuse to pay for repairs. The worst part is that if a building owner refuses repairs, this is the same person continuing, they're in fire safety, all I can do is report the building to local council. There's no fire safety compliance department. I can only report it and hope that the council actions it. Some councils do, many do not.
Yep.
So, again, the kind of things are just, like, whenever, I know I'm saying things and I sound naive, but maybe many have not considered these issues for a while, or if you haven't been in a building that's been dodgy or you haven't thought about these sort of things, it just doesn't sound right, does it?
No, you've lived in apartments. You've owned apartments, and I'm sure you've been on a committee where somebody has said, let's not draw the council's attention to this building. Like somebody says, oh, I want to build an extension or something.
Right.
And we're going to have to go for planning permission.
Right.
And somebody will say, oh, if the council comes around and sees that we don't have sprinklers, they're going to make us put a sprinkler system in that's going to cost us all money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very common scenario.
Yeah.
But just think of the day-to-day non-compliance of people jamming fire doors open because it's more convenient because they keep banging every 5 minutes when somebody goes through them.
The cat's got to get in and out.
Think about the cats. And then you have the things like overcrowding, which is still going on, and subdivision of apartments, where somebody comes in and splits a bedroom into two rooms or puts locks on bedroom doors, which is what happened in the Bankstown fire. Right. Those girls could have got to a balcony if the door hadn't been locked.
Yeah. Steve?
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good. What's your involvement?
Just a couple of observations here. I think, firstly, with the London fire, we find that the cladding material probably had some level of fire certification on its own. Then the insulation behind it, and the cladding is basically a rain screen. It stops the rain from getting to the insulation, which insulates the building. So the insulation would have had some level of fire certification on it. Then you're supposed to have these non-combustible breaks in between each floor as it goes up that system. And there's a cavity in the middle there. So what happens is when you bring all of the three together, like the fire brakes haven't been put in properly, you've got a cavity that sort of turbocharges the air up the middle, then both of those products are taken to a different level of fire risk. And when they start to burn, you add a whole lot of air to the fire and the whole wall just takes off. So first of all, it comes down to testing a system, not just testing a component.
Right.
And the industry's starting to move more towards systems testing, but it's very expensive. Like a facade test will cost you $120,000 every time you want to change something in it. But look, I believe the biggest catalyst to change here is going to be probably from the insurance industry. Because what will end up happening is if you've got a combustible cladding on the outside of your building, your insurer is going to go, well, hang on, there's a higher risk here, so your premiums are going to go right up.
Mm.
And so I think we'll start to find insurance industry starting to drive the change in this.
Steve, thanks for your insights. In fact, Richard, you're in insurance, Richard?
James?
Hello, Richard. Yeah, what do you want to tell us?
Oh, look, it's very much the same thing Barry just said, but in the circumstances, by what I'm hearing, is that if there is a fire, the insurance companies are quite well within their rights to even just deny the claim entirely, because the non-compliance gives them the out. You know, you've got to disclose what the product is, like any insurance policy, and therefore, when the event occurs, they're not required, or should they have to make up for what people failed to do in the first place.
Yeah, well, that may well be the case. What we're seeing here is a chain that does seem sort of unimaginable, and this is what they're complaining. This is what they're saying in London. Like this is a fault of council and government over the years.
Yep.
And what you've been describing through Flat Chat and through these discussions and that over the last decade is the same chain, isn't it?
Yeah,
we've got exactly the same thing right here in Sydney.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the problems is that we have government which is very, very reluctant to say to developers, here's a set of rules by which you must abide. Because the developers will go, no, we won't be able to afford to build affordable housing. And, of course, then they build apartments and they charge, you know.
Yeah, they seem to be managing to do that anyway.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's political, it's economic, it's social, you know. There's a whole element of, and there has been, as I've been banging on for the past 10 years or more, people who live in apartments have never really been considered as you know, worth worrying about.
Right.
But now they are. I mean, it would be feasible, but politically unacceptable, for the government to turn around and say, you know what, the chances of a fire are quite slim and you've got other things and you're probably going to be okay. So we're just not going to worry about it. And, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe statistically the chances of a fire breaking out and something like the Grenfell Tower thing happening in Sydney are limited, but they're not non-existent.
But that's, I mean, they'll have to find a political... I don't think politically they can quite say what you just said.
Not in those words.
But it may be... they may find some way of saying that. Is that what you're... your feeling, is that they'll find some way of saying that?
Like, I think they'll probably... And it was interesting what the earlier caller was saying about insurance. I think they'll probably go to people and say, look, you have to identify whether or not you have this potentially dangerous cladding on your building. Mm. We're not going to force you to replace it, but you have to establish with your insurer and with the owners that that's what you've got in the building.
Right.
And that allows then the owners, the public, the people who are affected most, to decide where they want to go with it.
Right. So then, and so as one of our callers said, Steve, I think, that it might be insurance who then say, that's fine, you cannot do anything, but we just doubled your fees.
Yep.
Or we won't insure you at all.
Yep.
Or
we won't insure you for a fire that covers your cladding.
Yeah.
And you take the risk.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say this, but I think a lot of owners' corporations, the majority of owners who are statistically investors, are going to say, yeah, fine, we'll take the risk.
So there's another...
Because I'm living... I'm in Noosa.
Well, that's sort of what I was indicating when I said, look, the owners might say, well, look, it's fine. Like, the owners are not actually going to be in it.
No. Nah.
So, therefore, it may not be the same sort of sense of things. Mark?
Yes, how are you? I'm enjoying the conversation. Thank you.
What are you thinking?
I was pleasantly surprised at the breadth of the conversation. So often, you hear just just the cladding. That's all they talk about. And the cladding is just a very small part of the overall picture, and your other callers have already mentioned it, so I like that on about it. But yeah, it's a much bigger picture than just the cladding on the outside.
Yeah.
That needs to be made known.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Nice to hear from you. Pat has texted, why can't the government be sued as they should have been in charge of these building regulations? They must ensure that the buildings follow a true certification process. You might see that in Grenfell, mind, didn't you? Like a class action suing council.
Look, there was a big case it was just brought to my attention just yesterday, last year in Melbourne. No, here in Chatswood, much closer. There was a building which had a lot of defects in it, and the time frame for the statutory claims had run out. But the owners said, well, look, this is such a problem. We're going to sue the builder and the developer. And the High Court said that the builder and the developer had no duty of care.
Wow.
To have provided the properly built building.
Mm.
And that has just, you know, that's just undermined. So if you can't even take the developer and the builder to court, you've got no chance with the government.
See, I do often find this segment quite depressing. Like,
just think how my life is.
most other things, you know, when people say, like, let's say on the broader scale, oh, there's a lot of horror in the world. I kind of go, yeah, I think there were worse times, you know. I agree. Is there some, you know, that sort of thing. You, I never come away with that impression. I was just go, oh, it just gets worse.
I'm sorry.
Sally.
I'm really sorry.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, what do you want to tell us?
I just wanted to say, my understanding is that the FireSafe product and the non-compliant product actually look identical. So many buildings have actually ordered the FireSafe product, but then unwittingly have been deceived either by the builder or by a supplier who have gone, beauty, I can get this from China.
Mm. Yeah.
And so there's lots...
Now, you know this because why, Sally?
Well, actually, interesting enough, it was on Four Corners last year.
Oh, there you go. Right.
So, and they covered it, and they in great detail, so you could always Google the Four Corners cladding.
Yeah.
And that was because we looked at it for my building, and that was the research I did, and I said, let's not go there because we cannot... guarantee there's no way we could tell the difference.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So what we've got to is, Sally, thanks so much for that. We'll see if you might be able to find that Four Corners. It might be worth, hey, Four Corners, put it up again on iView. Like, it might be worth a look at the moment, whichever episode that was. Someone pointed out, Jimmy, that you came up with the theme, you know, the title this afternoon, The Chain of Liability is Non-Existent.
Wow,
you know it's a philosophical statement right there. The chain of liability is non-existent because what Sally just described there was exactly what you described before. Somebody dodgy in the process delivers the dodgy product,
but
there's nobody who's supervising that who's necessarily going to actually go and have a look at it and go, oh no, that's the dodgy one.
Yeah, and nobody chasing them and nobody throwing them in jail.
No.
And I can put a smile on your face. I think I feel duty bound.
Try.
Remember Cheers. The TV series.
Yes. Sometimes you need to go where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Woody is saying, hey guys, did you know that flammable and inflammable mean exactly the same? Boy, did I find that out the hard way.
Right. See, I think that was the wrong joke for this situation.
Possibly.
You know.
But I'm trying, you're depressed. I've depressed you. I've depressed all your listeners.
I know. It's you know, everyone's sort of going, ugh. Cookie wants to know, is there any other simple sort of thing? Can you spray some fireproof gunk into the cavity? Which is a technical term, I think, for the whole thing. Is there, I suppose there might be a cheaper solution, but.
It's very interesting. The developers, the builders in the La Crosse building in Melbourne have said, look, we don't want to replace all the thing. How about we put sprinklers on the outside of the building?
Right, right.
Which I actually think, yeah, that could work.
Yeah.
But I think they're having trouble getting the owners to accept that. So there are solutions, but I've got a feeling that an aerosol spray is not going to do it.
Mm. Look, thanks for all your calls and comments. Some great expertise there as well. Jimmy, thanks for sharing that with us. You can find Jimmy Thompson at flat-chat.com.au or in the domain on Saturday. Look up all of his comments and research there. Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, sir.